Welcome to Teacher Tales, where the chalk meets the cheese. I'm Glenn Bryant, your host on this weekly podcast, here to share the fun, the fails, and the fantastic moments from classrooms everywhere. Whether you're an educator or you just love a good story, you're in the right place. Stick around, like, subscribe, and share. You don't want to miss a single laugh or lesson. Hello and welcome to
Teacher's Tales, and you may hear some whoppers too.
I'm here today with Bruce Spartman. Bruce, I've known him, Lord, I can't remember how long I've known him. He was my assistant principal once upon a time. I heard he was a pretty good history teacher, special ed teacher. He'll tell you all about all his certifications and what all he can do. So, Bruce, tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of how you got into education and all the certifications you hold and everything that you have done to make education great in North Alabama.
Well, I don't know if I ever made it great, but I loved kids and I love sports. And that kind of led me into teaching because I like helping others. And so I got into teaching at a later age. I actually started out going to do criminal justice, but I changed and I was served, I guess, 34 years in the educational. My degrees, well, I have a biology degree. I have a certification, a history certification, a health and PE certification, a special ed certification, and administration certification. And I did some of that. As you change coaching jobs, you have to get certified in different areas.
Especially if you're working in a small school.
Right. A small school, you sometimes have to teach 2 science classes and 4 history classes, just the way it works sometimes.
So thinking back to when you got started, like your very first, what prompted, why education? I mean, you mentioned coaching and that kind of thing, but why education?
That was a way to try to help a lot of people. You know, you can help individuals along, but that was a setting where you're going to have thousands of kids if you stay in it a long time. And that was an opportunity to try to help a lot of people. And that's the best profession I can think of.
So who were some of the people back in the day that kind of pointed you that direction and encouraged you and helped you get your start?
Well, Coach Jones, Joe Jones, Coach Wissett were big pushers to help me get along. And Bill Sims and Roger Houston helped me at West Morgan when I was there 20-something years. And there's just others. A lot of people's been an influence on my life, a lot of other coaches. Because, you know, in education, you come one big family.
That's right. It's a family of families.
You're right. You see them sometimes more than you see your own family.
Oh, absolutely.
You know. Yeah. Especially coaching, you know. You're gone so much.
So where all did you coach?
I've been in a lot of schools because I changed. But I started out at Priceville High School, and then I moved.
That was back in the good old days before
that was back when we was on wagons and riding horses.
But Priceville High School went away for a little while, and now it's back.
Right. And then I went to Fallville for 3 years, and then I took a journey over into Lawrence County. And spent 8 years over there coaching and teaching.
And what school up there?
I was at Hazelwood and Mount Hope and Speak.
And none of those exist anymore?
No, most of them there are just junior high schools. They've
been consolidated. And then I met you when you were assistant principal at West Morgan High School.
Right.
And so then you got into administration. You were...
Right. And I was at West Morgan for 22 years. Started out teaching and coaching, then in 99, I got as assistant principal, and I stayed assistant principal of 2005, and I became the first middle school principal. We started a middle school at West Morgan. I was the first principal there, and I retired in 2014.
Well, I do appreciate you taking time to join us today.
You're welcome.
We will go on and get into our interview. All right, we're back, and we're going to do our long-form interview. I've got 10 questions that I'm going to ask you, and just do the very, very best you can do.
Well, I'll try to get through them.
Looking back, what's the most memorable moment in your career as an administrator, and how did it shape your leadership style?
Boy, there's a lot of important things that happened that you learn a lot each day. So, there are so many people that influenced me that I shaped my how I did things around what I learned from Mr. Sims, Mr. Houston, and other administrators. You know, they just all meant so much as we'd get together and talk. You just learn and you kind of take part of this, and shape it into the method that you need and you want to use.
Yeah, there's no way, there's no substitute for experience. And if you can, you know, experience comes in two different ways. It's yours or you've seen somebody do it. And so, you know, I tried to keep my eyes open and my mouth shut when I was watching the way folks did the job and learn from other people.
Right, you know, if they're doing something successful, you want to take part of that and include it in your style, because it works. And you take the parts that work, that you see work, that kind of go along with your thinking, and then it's well shaped.
And then be smart enough to learn from when you see folks do things that don't work.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. If you could give your younger administrator self one piece of advice, so going back 50 years ago, and give yourself one piece of advice, what would it be, and why? Why that one piece of advice?
Think before you do something, because how you handle stuff can make a big difference. And sometimes we just want to get it taken care of, but we got to think about what happened, what's going to happen, what the consequences. So patience, and think about it before you make your decisions.
That's good advice. What was the most challenging situation that you ever faced as an administrator, and then how did you handle it?
Well, you know, I had a lot of challenging things, especially when it goes to discipline, you know, and with parents and trying to get a why we do certain things and why we have certain guidelines and what's the reason for those guidelines. You just have to be yourself and explain it to them and hope they see that you're trying to do the best you can.
Can you share a time when a teacher or a student made you laugh and or surprised you in a way that you didn't expect?
Many times. And especially now that I'm retired, when students come up to you and put their arm around you and say, "Coach, thanks for not giving up on me." You know, they were a little trouble in school. And my saying was always, treat others like you want to be treated. Said it every time they come in there, because they was having problems. And then they come up to you later in life and thank you and say, "I appreciate what you did, because you did it for my benefit." And that's very rewarding to me. It humbles me a lot. I made a difference in their life.
Yeah, because you really never know what a kid's going through or what a kid's having to handle outside of school.
You're right. Home life sometimes is tough.
And they can be, you know, they see six or seven different teachers during the day, and they can be completely different people for each of those teachers.
Right.
And you don't really know. You have to get to know the kids and, you know, and kind of set a precedent with them and be firm, right, but fair, and they don't ever forget it.
Right.
How did you motivate your staff and keep morale high during difficult times?
Well, you just have to stay positive. You know, we all get down, but you know, you got to lift them up. You got to be positive. You know, good's going to come around. Even though you may have some hard times and disappointments, it's not going to stay that way. You know, you just stay positive, try to help them any way you can, and just keep, I guess, going through it, you know, till you get to, and you see light on the other end.
What's the craziest or most unconventional thing that you did to improve student school culture or boost student engagement?
I did the worm in a pep rally. And when I looked up, the whole stands were falling over last. And thank goodness they don't have that nowhere to show.
What any particular kind of worm?
It was the worm on that gym floor, you know, where you...
A grub worm?
Yeah, or like a grub worm, yeah.
An inch worm. How did you balance, you know, in administration especially, you have a lot of different people that you got to satisfy. So how did you balance the needs of the students, the teachers, the parents, and then also keep up with all the never-ending district expectations?
Through a lot of hours of work. It's not one of them 8-to-5 or 7-to-5 job, whatever you want, because there's a lot of extra time. But you just take each situation and you work at that, and you try to do the best you can in all the things that come up.
Is there a specific student or teacher success story that reminded you why you became an educator?
you know, a lot of, no, there's a lot of success stories. And I'm just glad to be a part of that. I hope I'm a part of that by encouraging them and trying to motivate them. And they become outstanding citizens, have great jobs, doing a great job. And I'm very proud of them.
You know, it's, it is amazing to me. I'm sitting here as I'm reading these questions and I'm thinking back. So how many of your family members are teachers?
Well, my daughter-in-law was, but she's retired. My son is, my daughter-in-law is. I got a niece that is.
At least one.
I got a grandson that is. He has a law degree, and he went into teaching because he loves kids and loves sports.
That's genetic.
Right.
He gets it from his granddad.
And,
and then you think about the guys that are like me that are now principals.
Right.
And how many of those would you say that you influenced? I can think of about six that worked with me at Westmore. At some point in time.
I don't know that number.
I don't know that all of that influence was due to you, but it was. You certainly had a part in it.
Well, thank you.
And so you just don't ever really think about how far-reaching your web of influence is. When you're,
I coach a lot. I coach with a lot of people. They became very good friends, and now they're in different schools all over different counties.
I don't remember going anywhere with you that you didn't know half a dozen people there.
Some of us in jail together. Yeah. But.
Disney World must be miserable for you when you have to go. What's the funniest misunderstanding or miscommunication that you had while managing the school? I'll mention one where during story time where I wound up giving a kid a paddling based on some information that you shared early in the morning, but that was
false information.
That was my bad as much as it was anybody else.
I really don't know. Some of the things happen during, when this weather gets, in a tizzy, you come to school, you're going to get out of school. You don't know what time you're going to get out of school. Some funny things happen in there, and miscommunication happens big time. And sometimes you give the wrong answer, and then right as soon as you give it to everybody, they done changed, and you didn't know it.
Oh, man, I know exactly what you're talking about. And luckily, I guess, or for you, social media wasn't nearly as prevalent when you were, as an administrator's. But now everybody knows everything automatically. I mean, just instantly.
Right. We had the cups and the string. That's how we communicate.
Yeah. Yeah. If administration were a superhero job, what would your superpower be and how would you use it to improve the school?
That's a tough. And if I could be like anybody, you'd want to be Jesus Christ.
Just omnipresent.
He's everywhere. He can do anything. He can solve any problem.
All present, all knowing.
Right. All knowing. I mean, so, I sure like to walk.
And surely fair with everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. He's fair with everybody. He's stern and he's just, but he's fair.
Yeah. And that's not, if you got to aspire to be somebody, that'd be the one you'd want to be like.
Oh, now that's Superman.
Superman.
Yeah. Because I get somewhere quick flying. So, I wouldn't have to drive with all this traffic.
Well, all right. I do thank you. And we'll be right back with story time. And we're back with story time. Bruce, this is that opportunity where you can tell any story that didn't fit into the interview, anything that stood out to you in your many years of service that would be story time worthy. I could tell a few, but I'll let you.
Well, some of the stories you don't want to tell, okay? we have a lot of fun.
Some of them I participated in.
Yes, you did, and y'all were probably instigating, hiding, and freezing my keys all the time. If I laid them on my desk, they disappeared. I knew I could go to the refrigerator and get them out.
So, in all honesty, how many times did that happen to you?
Oh, at least 30 or 40.
So if somebody doesn't understand, what would happen is you would be in the lunchroom or classroom or wherever he had been previously, and you'd find a key, set of keys, and it was a large, it wasn't a small key ring. It was a pretty good size key ring. But it was in the days where, you know, it was pre all these electronics in your keys. You couldn't do it now because it would mess up the electronics. But just take a set of keys and drop them in a cup of water and set them in the freezer in the teacher workroom. And in just a little while, Mr. Sparkman would be fussing trying to figure out who had done that.
But I had good ideas, you know. Two main instigators, Buddy Walker and Billy Rhodes. Yeah. But there's others that
Others along the way. My favorite story with Mr. Sparkman is I was teaching one morning during my first period class, he stopped by and he said, I had been deployed with the military when I'd come home. And Mr. Sparkman said, Miss Brian, I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings, but your son was he was picking on that kid with the rat tail in the cafeteria this morning. And Will's teachers had already told me that he had been a handful while I was gone. And so I said, Mr. Sparkman, you ain't got to worry about it. And so during my planning time, which was the next class period, I just reached up on the cabinet there and took my paddle down to the fifth grade hall, and I pulled Will out, young Mr. Will out, and gave him three good big boy licks. Fast forward to about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I was getting ready to go to the field house, and Mr. Sparkman shows back up and says, hey, I just wanted to let you know that I followed up on that investigation from this morning, and I discovered that your son was actually defending that young man and had not been picking on him at all.
You jumped the gun.
Oh, my word. I have, and that has cost me. I have bought made house payments and car payments, and I don't know, no way I'll ever make that up, but a good spanking every now and then.
Didn't hurt.
Any other stories you want?
No, we just had a lot of fun, very closeness. Everybody been willing to help each other, and it was wonderful.
So did you have a closet full of sweater vests, or just that one or two that you wore?
Oh, I had a closet full.
Because Mr. Sparkman's teaching uniform, administration uniform in the fall of the year all the way up till early spring, I reckon, would be a sweater vest. And so anytime that I've ever worn a sweater vest, I've remembered Mr. Sparkman. And his son teaches at Ardmore, and he worked for me for a little while. And if I ever wore a sweater vest to Ardmore High School, your son Jacob would never let me hear the end of it, because he would call me Mr. Sparkman Jr.
Right. Well, that's what people gave me for Christmas, because I knew I wore them all the time. So I wore them.
Well, I do again thank you for being here. And if you know a teacher like Mr. Sparkman is, or somebody who spent their life in giving back, and really one of the legends of the industry, that would make a good interview, you'd like to see me interview him, just drop me send me a comment in the comment section, or drop me an email, and I will do my very best to make contact with them and get them scheduled for an interview. Thanks again for being with us, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Teacher Tales. If you are inspired, motivated, or just had a good laugh, be sure to subscribe and share this podcast with your friends. And if you know a good teacher who has a story to tell, I'd love to hear from them. Send me an email at motivatedinspiration@gmail.com with your suggestion. Remember, whether you're in the classroom, at home, or out in the world, keep spreading the joy of learning. Until next time, keep those stories alive.